Most of us probably memorized the Ten Commandments in our youth, and we learned that the fourth commandment was honor your father and your mother. We know then later that Jesus gave us a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And here we come this evening and hear these shocking words of Jesus. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. How can we reconcile these seemingly contradictory demands to be a disciple of Jesus? Luke tells us that Jesus is speaking to the crowds. He is not addressing those who he asked to follow him, his disciples. Instead, he is speaking to those who might be thinking about following him. Also, we need to know that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he knew what awaited him there. He was clearly letting everyone know that being a disciple is going to cost something, just as it was going to cost him everything. To these people, Jesus speaks about hating family members, and he adds that his followers must renounce all of their possessions. Now, that doesn't sound like a great way to add followers and disciples to your cause, does it? What's going on here? Jesus spoke Aramaic. Well, I wanted to learn what the word hate translated to in Aramaic. I found a reflection by Dr. Ethan Barr, who was and is an Israeli Jewish follower of Jesus. He was born in Tel Aviv, a Bible scholar, an author with advanced degrees in Bible and theology. He offered the English word hate is translated in biblical Hebrew as sane, S-A-N-E. Sane carries a much different, broader, and less emotional meaning than hate. He said it means to reject, to avoid, to ignore, or to turn away. Dr. Barr provided this reflection. To modern ears, these words from Jesus are unsettling. How could the Prince of Peace call us to hate our families? But Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, spoke within the framework of biblical thought. He wasn't commanding emotional hostility. He was saying, choose me over them. Be willing to walk away from them, or whatever it is, if necessary, in order to follow me. While the Hebrew version seems to be a softer approach, it was still very jolting to the audience that Jesus was speaking to, because in Jesus' time, people did not conceive of themselves as individuals, but they derived their identity and their social standing from their family, from their clan, their village, and religious group. It would be unimaginable to cut oneself off, to walk away from family at that time. This would be tantamount to losing one's life. The Hebrew language of hating or saning one's family would therefore have been even more shocking to that audience of that day than it is to us even today. The reading from the Book of Wisdom, it's instructive relative to discerning what we need to do to be a disciple of Jesus. A common philosophical belief in the Greco-Roman period was that the body burdened or weighed down the soul. Solomon prays for wisdom so that he can overcome the burdens of the body and the mind to follow God's will. We too are to pray. We're to silence ourselves and to listen for wisdom from God, to know what God's ways are so that we can follow his path to discipleship. The second reading presents a plea from Paul to Philemon. Paul is in prison with Philemon's slave Onesimus. who was converted and became Christian. Paul writes to the slave's owner to ask him to receive the slave, who is about to be released from prison, not as a slave, but as a fellow follower of Christ. Slavery in the Greco-Roman world was legal, and it was often the result of bankruptcy or some other need. So for an enslaved person to be freed, the owner would expect some kind of recompense or repayment. This letter is Paul's appeal to Philemon for a couple of possible outcomes. First, to allow Onesimus to be sent back to Paul to care for him in prison. Or secondly, to accept Onesimus back not only as a free person without debt, but as a brother in Christ. Paul strongly exhorts Philemon to demonstrate his discipleship through Christian love and mercy, and to do what is right and good for Onesimus. Philemon's decision would not be easy, as he would have to consider the culture of the time as well as his Christian faith. So the teaching that can be gleaned from Jesus in the gospel and supported by these other readings is this: I am asking you to grow in the freedom that it takes to follow me with all of your heart. Reject whatever turns your heart away from me and my word. Turn away from the habits, the actions, the positions, the identities that are counter to the spirit of generosity, forgiveness, and love for others the way I have loved you. All of this evening's hymns align so beautifully with our liturgy this evening. Soon we will be singing the preparation song or hymn, which is I Will Choose Christ. It presents, I think, an excellent reflection and summary on the gospel and the homily that I just gave. So sing this with gusto this evening. I will choose Christ. I will choose love. I will choose to serve. I give my heart. I give my life. I give my all to you. How many times must he call my name and show me that he is God? As a servant, he calls to me, you must serve too. And as I look upon your cross, so too I must die with you. And with the death of my own desires, I will rise with you. Amen.